strange place for me to be, right? You guys are all in the back again. How unfriendly you are. No, only kidding you. Anyway, we're going to be in the Psalm 92. And before we get into this psalm, I wish to thank everybody. We've had a wonderful week here visiting, fellowshipping with the saints here at Wauwatosa and visiting many friends. And we thank you for your gracious hospitality to us. And again, we will extend the invitation, an open invitation. If you're ever in the Cincinnati area, come and see us, please. We would love to see you guys and have fellowship with you at that time. Psalm 92. Psalm 92 begins with by describing an action that is good for every believer to be performing. Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2, reads this way. It says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night." And at the end of this psalm, the thought is of flourishing. And verses 12 to 15 says this, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." What I would like to focus on this evening is something that, as I grow older, it becomes more and more prevalent in my life. I become more aware of it. And it's these two thoughts from verse 14. They shall still bear fruit in old age. No matter how old we are, we still bear fruit. And that's important for all of us to understand. And it says here also, the other thought is, they shall be fresh and flourishing. What wonderful thoughts those are, right? It says that no matter how old, how many gray hairs that I have, I can still be fresh and flourishing to other believers, and my life can be to others in the world. And that encourages me. Generally, if you're like me, you don't like to think about growing old, do you? Because why? Well, because the world attributes so many negative things and thoughts and pictures about the aging process. You know, we all seen the stories about nursing homes. We all seen the cartoons about old people without teeth and all that good stuff, right? And so we get this picture as we grow old. We have diminished abilities and health issues. That may be so. We may have that in our lives. But there's one thing we need to remember. The Lord is always with us. And the Lord will give us the strength to do what he has called us to do. He enables. He always enables. That's the one thing I have learned in my Christian walk. This morning, I shared at Stonebank. I've been baptized I was baptized 24 years ago. 24 years and 1 month ago, I was baptized. And as I looked over my life, I can see how the Lord has slowly took me and transformed my life and has given me a bunch of opportunities. And he still is using me. And I have more time now to minister than I've ever had before. I have more time now to be in God's world and in God's word. The Lord had taken a job that I have, a secular job, for 31 and a half years and took that away. But he gave me something better. He gave me a job where I can work from home, where I'm not pressured, and I have time to be into the word. And he put me into a place in Cincinnati where it's a small assembly. I have many opportunities to minister and to grow there. And I'm very thankful about that. So, yes, I have diminished abilities. That's a fact. And I have health issues. I had another partial stroke over a year ago, and which I'm fine, but it did happen to me. And then the world also pictures this thing about we may have discontent in the way our life has unfolded as we grow old. We may be bitter about something. We didn't get that promotion. we weren't able to accomplish all that we set out to accomplish with our lives, where it didn't turn out the way we wanted to. Our families are not walking with the Lord, and things of those natures. Those are heavy on our hearts, and they create bitterness, and that bitterness is rooted in our past relationships, and they're with us. And we need to understand that those things exist in our lives, but we need to also understand that the Lord is gracious, and the Lord is still with us, no matter where we are, no matter what our physical abilities are, no matter what our heart attitude is. The Lord never leaves us, and that's something that we can all take comfort in. So life clearly demonstrates to all of us in here, and especially our older people here, like me, that we cannot stop this natural aging process. It's going to continue, and I'm probably going to have false teeth one day. I don't know. Maybe I'll just gum it out. Who knows with it. But you get the idea. We can't stop it. It is something. The aging process is a result of a fallen sin, right? It's because of sin entering the world, and things decay. And we can see that throughout of all of Scripture. You know, and you start into Genesis. People live a long time in Genesis, right? Hundreds of years. And then slowly, the cycle of life became shorter and shorter and shorter. And so it has its effect on us, and it's still decaying. And while man tries to try everything he can to prolong life, the answer is that he can't, because he's not dealing with the sin question. And only Jesus Christ can deal with that sin question. And we look forward to his return here, don't we, when he comes again, because he sets everything correct. He puts creation back in its proper order and establishes his kingdom. So the question becomes, how can we still bear fruit in old age? That's an important question for us. And it's an important question for the young people, too, as they grow older. Because one day they're going to be in our position in there. And so how do we bear fruit, and how do we become fresh and flourishing? That's important for us to stop and consider as we move on. Is growing old gracefully even possible? Right? That's a good question. Can a person grow old gracefully? I think the answer to that question is yes, as I look into Scripture. The scriptures contain many examples of lives that clearly illustrate that we, as we age, we can grow gracefully. Take for an example Moses, right? Moses, according to Deuteronomy 34:7, lived to be 120 years old. He became an exception. He was 120 years old. He lived to a good old age, considering the lifespan of individuals during that time. And Deuteronomy 34, verse 7 records this for us. His eye was not dim, nor was his natural force or vigor abated or diminished. So there is no indication in Deuteronomy that Moses had suffered any kind of dimming of his eyes or the activity of his mind. He was as sharp as ever with it. And when you look at the end of his life here on earth as he walked here, he could still speak, he could write, and he certainly could walk, because he walked in the desert for 40 years. That's a long walk. I don't think I want to do 40 years. I have trouble doing 1 hour with my wife sometimes in Cincinnati walking around. So I don't, walking for 40 years would be hard for me. And his understanding of what God was doing for the nation of Israel was as clear, and his memory was as strong as when he first started, when he was called by the Lord, when he was called at the burning bush to deliver the Lord's people. And here's another example. Take the life of Peter. Peter's life is an example of a man who grew old gracefully, I believe. As he aged, Peter exhorted his fellow elders in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, by saying this, "Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. And at his as his death approached, he remained fruitful. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 and 15 state this: "Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off this tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease." And we all know the story of Peter, how he denied the Lord three times, right? At the right when the Lord was being brought before Pilate, when he was in the courtyard. And the Lord restored him. And Peter was instrumental in making sure that the early church would grow. When you look at the book of Acts and what Peter did, and the Lord taught him many things along the way. When he went to Cornelius, he taught him that it was okay to associate with the Gentiles. Otherwise, Peter would have still secluded himself from that. So we're never too old to learn anything from the Lord. Right? That's the thing to take away. We're never too old to learn. And it's never too late to change attitudes that we had and held for lifelong attitudes. So it's never late for us to do that. So that's one way of growing old graciously, is to be open to those times in your life when the Lord is going to talk to your heart and ask you to change perhaps an attitude that you have held dearly for a long time. And growing old gracefully, I believe, is also illustrated through my own personal experience and through the experience of other believers. We all know some and admire some older saints who have clearly demonstrated fruitfulness and graciousness until being called home. I look here in this assembly, and I can still remember Gus Quint. And I can remember Gus Quint asking me in a coffee line before I was saved, "How's your walk with the Lord today, Mike?" And he'd walk away. He wouldn't wait for an answer. And he left me struggling with that question all day long. All Sunday long, I had to struggle with that question. That's a tough question to struggle with, believe me. I have firsthand experience with that. And then I think of Brother Frank Brown and his graciousness. You know, I'm honored to have known these saints here at Wauwatosa. They are a very influential part of my life, and I'll never forget their contribution in helping me to come to the Lord Jesus and helping me to grow. Those things are important for us. So we need godly men, and we need to look up to the godly men and the godly women that are among us, because there's much to see and much to learn from them. Don't dismiss the elderly at all if you're young, because if you do, you might miss out on a golden opportunity. So what are the basic principles for growing old gracefully? There are some in Scripture, and I think these can be found in the book of Galatians. If we can turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. In Galatians chapter 6, there's a warning for us that all of us need to heed. And here's the warning in verses 7 and 8. "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So whatever a man sows, it says, that he also will reap." That's true in all areas of our life, in everything that we do. If we sow corn, we reap corn, don't we? If we take good care of our body, we can enjoy good health. If we disregard healthy habits, and what happens? Our body will suffer because of it, and we will suffer some ill effects from it. And this is especially true for us in the spiritual realm. And we need to be careful in what we fill our life up with, because it has such a great impact on us spiritually and in our walk with the Lord. Eliphaz in Job 4:8 highlights this truth, I think, very eloquently. He said this: "Even as I have seen those who plow iniquity and sow trouble, reap the same. So even back in the time of Job, it was observed that if you led a life that is sowing discord and discontentment, that's what your life is going to be filled with. You live a life of righteousness, and you sow love, and you talk about the grace of God and what God is doing into your life, you will be richly blessed. So you can choose what kind of life you want in the older age. You just need to remember, we sow what we reap. And the foundation, I think, for the happy old age has to be laid in youth. You have to start early. In my case, I kind of started late, but that's okay, because that was the Lord's will for my life, right? That was the Lord's will. And by his gracious hand, he has taken me and led me, and he's changed me from what I was 24 plus years ago. He's changed me quite a bit. And some of you probably can attest to that. You probably still remember that idiot that stood in the library at all times during the family, during the breaking of bread, right? While his family was here enjoying spiritual worship with the Lord remembering the Lord, I was the guy that was in that library just sitting around, poking around, saying, what should I do? But it took a while. It took a while for the Lord to touch my heart about that. And I'll tell you one thing. That meeting, the breaking of bread meeting, is the most precious meeting for me in my life. And I would do anything to make sure that I never miss one. And when I travel, wherever I travel, I make sure that I can find an assembly someplace where I can join in fellowship with the brethren breaking their bread. Even if it means if I have to go to a closed assembly, I'll do that. And by the way, closed assemblies will welcome you in if you're an open brethren. They do not exclude you. And what you do need, though, is you need a letter of introduction from the elders of the assembly. And I urge you, if you're traveling outside of the area where people don't know you, get that letter. It's so important to have that, because the elders are charged with making sure that those who participate in the Lord's Supper are believers, right? They have a solemn charge to do that. So if you have that letter, it's so much easier for them. It makes life easy. And the brethren do welcome you. With it. The first time I went, they let me in the inner circle. The second time I went back to the same assembly, I was sort of like in the back of the inner circle, but I was still in the inner circle, right? I wasn't pushed off to the back where I couldn't participate in the service and remembering the Lord. So it is a very important thing. Solomon, right? We all know Solomon. He's a wise man, right, as they say, a very wise man, if you would. In today's vernacular, a wise man might not be considered the right thing to do, right? That means he cracks a lot of jokes and things like that. But Solomon wrote this in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Catch that? Remember now in the days of your youth. It doesn't say remember now when you're older or when you think you're a spiritual, you've been a Christian long enough and you know enough about the Lord now to say now to remember. No, that's not what Solomon's saying. He's saying to remember now your Creator and in your youth. Put those foundations in your heart now. Get into practice of opening the Word of God and learning the Word of God. Plant it deep in your heart. You know, I look at my life, and I'm very thankful for, I was raised Catholic, and I'm very thankful for the Catholic education I have. Why? Because it taught me fundamental truths. It taught me some real fundamental truths. In the days when I was growing up, the Catholic Church they hid the truth. They didn't. They preached works, but they always had the gospel somewhere in their liturgical writings. The gospel was there. When you look at the first reading, it was from the Old Testament. The second reading was from the New Testament. And then, of course, the sermon was always from the gospels themselves with it. But when we were in school, we were learning all of these things. And the Lord just took those portions, those important things that I needed, and he planted them in the heart. And that's why Sunday school and those who work with kids, it's such a blessing. You are planting seeds that can come up and be useful for the children as they grow older. And the one thing that I see that's necessary is to have a positive and a realistic attitude about the aging process. Again, that realistic attitude is, I can't stop it. Old age does, it has gains and will have losses for me. And I need to be able to see that in my life. But I need to also see that there is value, there is dignity and meaning to my life, even as I grow older. And I got to keep that uppermost in my mind at all times. And I think, again, for me, the thing that's important is, how do I trust the Lord? Do I trust Him enough to say, Lord, I'm getting older, I'm slowing down, I don't feel like it, but yet the Lord says, I'm calling you. What do? Step out. Let the Lord lead and follow Him, because He's going to use you. He's not, and if you don't heed the Lord's call when He's calling you, what's going to happen? He's going to put you aside, and you're going to be set aside. And that's a bad place to be. I don't think I would like to be at that place at all with this. And I think it's important that my life, your life, if you're a believer, glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do that by surrendering ourselves. And that's the thing that we need to do. And we need to remember that the bitterness that we have, the discontent, the anger that people show when they're getting older, that happens because we sow to the flesh and we don't sow to the Spirit. So the works of the flesh are in Galatians are clearly seen in Galatians 5, verses 19-21. It says that, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, and it goes on and on and on and on. Envy, murderous, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, I picked up a thing this morning, which was really good. It's a little pink card that was in Stone Bank, and it says choices. And this is really profound. I was just reading it. Let me read it to you. It says choices. You can choose your choices, but you cannot choose the consequences of your choices. The thing about our choices is, after we have made them, they turn around and make us. Right? They turn around and make us. And that's so true. And we need to be aware of that as we progress in our walk and as we grow older and we make these choices with it. I think that for the young people here and those who desire, sometimes when young people, when they reach age 18 and that, they want to go out and they want to sow their old, wild oats, as they used to say. I don't know what they say today when they go out. Maybe it's different from when I was here. And they want to live according to the works of the flesh. And what the young people are failing to realize is the harvest of trouble that they're going to reap because of the rebellion that they're pursuing. And as they abuse their bodies in some cases with the drugs and their health is going to be ruined. As they engage in immorality, their reputation is ruined. And it goes on. And most of us, I think, as we continue on through life, we just don't stop. And we just don't stop to realize that the popular lifestyle of the world is not the way that we are called to live. That's not what Scripture tells us to do. Doing your own thing, right? Is something that I grew up with, and that produces a lot of bitterness and resentment in life, and that in my generation is probably characterized by a lot of people my age. And by the way, I don't consider myself old. Everything is relative. You're growing as old as I am, and nothing has changed between us, right? The number of years is still the same. Now, I may have a little more gray hair than you do, but that doesn't make any difference. We're still growing together with that. And I think a lot of young people condemn older people for the way they waste their lives. And what we need to realize is that our life may be heading down some kind of the same path. We need to be careful. We need to all constantly go before the Lord and examine our life and let the Lord touch our hearts and help us to see areas of our life that need to be changed. And we need to be submissive to the Lord's leading and allow him to change us. So the journey to growing old gracefully begins, of course, with the receiving Jesus and becoming a new creation in him, right? We are a new creation when we receive Jesus Christ into our lives. Galatians chapter 5, verses 21, 26 tells us how we should live, right? Instead of sowing all of the bitterness that we have, sowing to the flesh, it says that but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And it goes on, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Okay, so that's the way we are supposed to walk. That's hard. That's very difficult for us at all times to walk that way. And it's only by the grace of God that it's even possible that we can do that. The one thing I'm really, really aware of is the unity of the body, right? The unity of the body is a responsibility of every believer. We all have the responsibility to make sure that we do not destroy the unity of the body of Christ. That is a sanctified body, and it cost Jesus Christ his life, and we are part of that body when we receive him. So we need to be careful that we try to walk in the Spirit as much as possible. So Hosea said this about sowing thing. It says, sow with, in Hosea 10, chapter 12, it says, sow with a view to righteousness, reap in accordance with kindness. I like that. Reap in accordance with kindness. So we need to acquire insight. We need this understanding, which is going to enable us to make the best use of our talents and our circumstances and help us to avoid the mistakes and pitfalls of life. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to make them. I still make a lot of mistakes. You will make a lot of mistakes, but learn from them. Let the Lord teach you by those mistakes and help you to grow. He will. He will. We still have a conscience, and the Lord talks to that conscience daily. For me, he reminds me of a lot of things I should be doing that I'm not doing, or things that I'm doing that please him. I get a sense that it does please him, and that helps me to just move forward. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13 says this, happy or blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. And the practicality of that truth is illustrated in Ephesians. Verse 15 says of chapter 5, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. So wisdom helps everybody to utilize to the fullest what little time that we have here on this earth. And think about it. We here have very little time. If I'm fortunate enough and I can reach 70 or 80 years old, I'd be very fortunate, right? Those who reach 100 are most fortunate. In there. The Lord is most gracious to them. So we don't know when the Lord is going to call us home. And we do not know, but what we do know is that the Lord is always going to be with us. And he's going to help us, and he's going to continue to help us until the time we are in his presence, right? Then his work, his transforming work is done in us. And then we move on to that eternal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and share in the kingdom. So when I look at Scripture, I see that wisdom can be acquired in a couple of ways. Let me share them with you. One way is through personal experience. That's the world's way, right? If I touch a flame and I burn my finger, I'm smarter the next time not to touch that flame. That's the practical experience. And this method can be very wasteful, and it can be very time-consuming, but that is the method that most of us employ as we walk through the life. We try this lifestyle, we try that lifestyle, we try to walk this direction, we try to walk in this direction, and while we learn from those experiences, it's very hard, it's very time-consuming, and we spend much of our life in this trial and this error process, repeating sometimes the same mistakes made by others. I'm grateful for the Word of God and looking at examples that he's put in here of how people walked and things that we're not supposed to do. You know, I'm into Chronicles right now. You know, you got the good kings, they walked he did evil and walked according to Jeroboam, right? And then you have the good kings. And it's wonderful things to see in the life of people, how things just play out in their lives with it and how they're blessed. And while we may finally gain the wisdom that we need through trial and error process, we have to bear all the consequences of all those errors that we made along the way. Ooh, that's a little sobering, isn't it? You have to bear those consequences. So that leads then to, gee, I wish I would have come to the Lord sooner. Gee, I wish I would have done this. And you know, now you're leading a life of regret instead of a thankful life, thanking the Lord for saving you when he did and moving forward and forgetting your past way. And the second way that we can gain wisdom is through God, right, and through his word. And that is the way that the Lord would like to have us do it. The trouble is most of us don't like to spend time in a word, right? We're too busy. We're engaged in living. We're engaged in pursuing pleasures and things of that nature, so we have very little time to offer up to the Lord. That's going to impact our lives, and especially as we get older. If we don't devote the time, we can't grow. We can't grow. So young people, take a lesson from an old man, if you would. Spend some time with the Lord daily. Develop the habit now, and as you grow older, that'll become ingrained, and it'll become more and more each day, and you'll be blessed, truly blessed by it. Proverbs chapter 3, 26 gives us this assurance: for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught, right? You're fearing the Lord. The Lord's going to give you the confidence you need to keep going, and he is going to make sure that you don't stumble along the way. So to help us apply these principles, here are four practical steps, I believe, and this is based on Paul's exhortations to a young preacher. And that young preacher is Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verses 12 to 15, these practical guidelines, I think, are going to help us all to still bear fruit in old age that is going to be fresh and flourishing. First of all, according to verse 12, we are to be an example to others, right? We are to be an example to others. Verse 12 of 1 Timothy 4 reads this way: be an example to the believers in the world in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity, right? That's a long list. It says there is no way, I don't see any way that we can avoid being an example to others. I will either be a good example or I'm going to be a bad example or a mediocre example, right? But I'm going to be an example. Someone's going to look at my life and say, wow, I like that, I dislike that, I want to be like that, or I don't want to be like that. And so just remember, you are always an example in there. So we need to remember that. And the fruit of the Spirit in our lives will be evident if we're a believer. If we're in the Word of God and we're walking according to the Word of God, we will bear fruit. Trust me, you're going to bear fruit, and people are going to see it. I've used this example, too, from my own life. When I was facing major surgery 10 years ago, and people started to ask questions how I could do that and be so calm about it, and it gave me an opportunity to share that I knew the Lord, and I had the Lord, and no matter what happened, I would be with the Lord, no matter what the outcome would be at that one point in time. And when I was at work and when I failed, when I did something that was out of character, they were quick to point out. Unbelievers are very quick to point out your faults. Trust me, they are. They'll be the first to let you know that you've stumbled somewhere along the way. And then you get that thing in your heart and saying, oh, yeah, I just did a bad thing, and that's not so good of a testimony with it. So we are an example. And hopefully we can be good examples to a lost and a dying world. So we have to determine in ourselves and make a definite choice, I think, to be an example that's going to be one that reflects the glory of God and the glory of Jesus Christ in our lives. And making the choice to live, when we live to produce the fruit of the Spirit, that will put us on the right track to grow old gracefully. I truly believe that. The second thing we need to commit ourselves to the study and exhortation of the Word of God. Verse 13 of chapter 4, 1 Timothy provides this guidance. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Why did Paul tell this young preacher that he should do this? Well, because there's wisdom that is to be found in God's Word. And it's possible for us to use this wisdom to grow old gracefully. For in the Word of God, we learn several things, right? We learn how to avoid the needless suffering experienced by reaping the results of learning by trial and error, right? We know that an immoral life is going to cost us something. It's going to cost us. And we also learn that the true purpose of life is not found in material things of life, right? There's more to life than just the material things. And there's the spiritual side, and that's the eternal side. And that's the part that we tend to neglect as we walk in this world. And especially as we get older, we start reflecting more and more about our health. We reflect about how we're going to survive in the inflation of the world and everything else. But I've come to learn one thing. The Lord always takes care of you and meets your need. No matter where you're at, he'll meet your need. And that's something that is very comforting to me. So committing yourself to the studying and teaching of the Word of God to others will assure you that you have an open line to God's wisdom. I truly believe that. And studying the Bible daily and sharing what you learn with others will help you to grow old gracefully. So that's an important thing. Third, we need to cultivate our God-given talents. Did you catch that? We need to cultivate the God-given talents. Verse 14 of 1 Timothy 4 says this, "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you." We all have gifts. And I said this morning. We all have gifts. They're not all the same. But every gift that the Lord has given to the saints in this assembly is important to the body life. Every gift, right? And we need to understand that, and we need to take the gift that the Lord has given us and exercise that for the whole of the body. And the more we do that, the more vibrant the body life is going to be in this assembly. And I have seen it at work, and I know that it works. In my own personal life, I've seen it. So I encourage you that if the Lord calls you to do something, just remember he's enabled you. He's not going to call you if he didn't enable you. So you just need to step up out in faith. Years ago, I probably would not have been able to say to you, I consider myself someone who can come up and share the Word of God with you. I would have been frightened about that. But I've learned that if I turn it over to the Lord and let the Lord have his way, he'll use it. No matter how bad I stumble, no matter how bad I might massacre the context or anything else, the Lord will use it to touch hearts. And that's important. That's very important. And, you know, when people said, come up and they tell you, you did a good job, I says, don't thank me. Thank the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit's work. That's not my work. And, you know, I don't want the credit. I don't need the credit. I do not deserve the credit. The Holy Spirit deserves the credit. God deserves the credit, not me. And I'm so thankful that he's allowed this old soul to be used by him. And I hope that as I grow older and older, that I continue to allow myself to be open and to be used as a vessel for his honor. So the degree to which we reap is going to be based upon our ability with which we sow. So if you want to reap a large harvest of good in this life, you need to develop and use your God-given talents. I think it comes just down to that. And again, talents are given for the purpose of building the body of Christ, and every talent is important. Cannot stress that enough. The last thing I want to tell you about growing old gracefully from 1 Timothy 4 is this: we need to apply diligence when we serve. Verse 15 instructs us this way. It says, meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. So growing old gracefully, like many good things, does not happen by accident. It's something that does not happen by accident. You have to remember to apply yourself entirely, giving diligence to the wisdom of God, and be open to His leading in your life. And this, takes concentrated effort on everyone's part until we're finally called home to be with the Lord. The Lord is still using many older saints, and he's using them very effectively. In Ross, we have people coming that have Parkinson's disease, and some who can barely walk up to the podium. But let me tell you, boy, can they preach the word. Can they open up and throw God's word and touch your hearts? And I've just been blessed by their ministry. And sometimes you'd like to go up and help them up the stairs or something to go. But hey, the Lord knows what he's doing. Trust me, he does. And it's great to see. So growing older gracefully is possible. That's the summation here. And we have a better chance of accomplishing this when we know the wisdom of God and when we know the Lord Jesus Christ in our life, and we allow him to use our lives. 2 Corinthians 5:17 states, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And Titus 3:5 says, tells us that this is made possible by the regeneration and the renewal by the Holy Spirit. So take courage if you're growing old. You can be triumphant, and you can continue to grow old gracefully. That's reassuring to me, especially as I approach that magical age of Social Security. I got a ways to go, guys, so don't think I'm that old. And our vantage point changes throughout life, doesn't it? Older people have a vantage point from which they can see the present in light of the past, and at the same time fix their eyes on the future. That's important. We interpret things that are going on in the present from things that happened in the past. We know what worked but did not work, right? And we've seen things in our lives that were blessings, and we've seen things in our lives that were not. So we have that perspective on there, and then we have another perspective. As I grow older and older, I'm more aware of what am I doing for the Lord before he calls me home. You know, what am I doing to glorify him? I'm more and more aware of that as I continue my walk here. So I think this greater vision increases hope, and that's essential, of course, for purposeful living and for happiness. And the greater vision enables older saints to share it with others, and that's important too. It's one thing to learn these lessons in life, but when we hold them to ourselves, what good are they? What good do they do? You need to share your life experiences, your walk with the Lord. You need to share that with other people, other believers. And I encourage the men here to take a younger man and make it your mission in life to help him to grow a little bit more. That would be an excellent thing to see if we were all to take an interest in the life of a younger believer who's just getting started out with it. So in sharing, I think that older saints become a blessing, right? They become a blessing to the young and to the old alike with this. And we must also come to this realization that this experience is reserved for those who follow the wisdom of God, right? For those who understand the abundant life is not found in the things of this world. There's more to living than living in this world. And who understand that as long as we have breath, we can live or begin to live a life that is fresh and flourishing. That's important. That's why I take encouragement out of Psalm 92, verse 14, that they shall still bear fruit in old age, and they shall be fresh and flourishing. And that just comforts my heart to know that the Lord's not done with me, and that as long as I have breath, I have work to do. And I just need to be open to that fact and allow the Lord to be God in my life and allow him to lead me and submit to his leading. And that's the hard thing for all of us to learn, is to submit ourselves to him, to become that living sacrifice, if you would, on the altar. And that living sacrifice is one that's very pleasing to the Lord. And I'm very thankful for the saints that have gone before, and I'm very thankful for the elderly people that the Lord has put into my life. And there are a lot of godly men out there, and I'm thankful for the interest that they took in me and shared with me over the years with it. And I just encourage you to keep that in mind and to help others out and to always be open to what how the Lord leads you. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, do thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for your word and the encouragement from your word that even as we grow older, we are useful to you, Father, and that you never leave us and that you will always enable us to do what you call us to do. And Lord, we just pray that you would continue to use all of us here. And we pray for the young people, Father, that they would develop good habits now, and that you would teach them your word, and you would plant your seed in their hearts and help that seed to be nourished over their lifetimes, and help them, Father, to be used by you as vessels that would bring glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we just thank you in his precious and holy name. Amen.